better known Washington think tanks, for lack of a better word at the moment. But so we formed a commission that involves, in this case, it's chaired by the president of the organization, Dr. John Hammer, former Deputy Secretary of Defense, that it involves a couple of Nobel laureates, Burton Richter from Stanford, from SLAC. Involves some government officials, a former Deputy Attorney General, former Deputy Attorney General, so that kind of approach. It's not, comes at, come at the question slightly differently, and it's not narrowly focused on polygraphs. It's science and security broadly. Can and how do I do that?
I'm going to ask the committee members to hold their questions, but several of us have been making notes, and I wanted to next introduce Senator Jeff Fingelman from New Mexico. I have chaired several committees before, Senator, and this is the first time I've had the pleasure of introducing a member from the Hill directly concerned and focused on the activities of the committee or panel.
Well, thanks. Thank you all. I underscore what General Gordon said, and thank you for being willing to serve on this. I know this is not a high-paid occupation. This is an issue which became very central in our deliberations in Congress because of all of the charges of Chinese espionage at the national laboratories. I mean, that's the impetus for the issue winding up in your lab. And of course, that's also much of the impetus for the creation of National Nuclear Security Agency that General Gordon now heads. Congress became very concerned because of all of these allegations of espionage and the Wen Ho Lee case in Los Alamos, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, and began to legislate all sorts of requirements to get this problem fixed. And one of the things that began legislating was a requirement that the Department of Energy pursue polygraph examinations for a lot of the people who work at the national laboratories. This thing went through a lot of different iterations when we were there in the legislative process. I think the Department of Energy first proposed a fairly modest polygraph program, which seemed to make sense, and then we passed a bill that seemed to validate that, sent it into a committee between the House and the Senate, and the bill that came out dramatically expanded the extent of the polygraph examining that was required to be done by the Department of Energy. I think, just as an indication of sort of how little real consensus we had in Congress as to what should be done, it was sort of being changed at every stage. There was a real distinction made between polygraphs, at least in the way I was thinking about it and some of the debate, between polygraphs as a tool to determine guilt or innocence when someone's charged with something, and polygraphs being used as a general screening tool for allowing people to work at the laboratories or allowing people to work in particular programs at the laboratories. And I think that idea that polygraphs are an effective screening tool that can be used sort of whole scale to decide who should get employed in particular areas of activity, that was probably the most troublesome to a lot of us. The underlying assumption behind the requirements, the legislative requirements for more and more polygraphs, the underlying assumption was that polygraphs had a solid scientific basis. And that's sort of why we asked that you folks come together and tell us if that's true and the extent to which that's true. I should tell you, my only exposure to polygraphs, Steve, you said you have no exposure to polygraphs.
Yeah.
Mine was when I was Attorney General in New Mexico, when I took the job as Attorney General, it was elected there. I noticed we had a polygrapher on our staff, and one of our jobs, of course, was to prosecute criminals. And it was very clear after a couple of months that the pattern was that whenever the defense counsel would put a polygrapher on the stand to assert that his client was telling the truth when he said he was 500 miles away from the scene of the crime, then we would put our polygrapher on and he would say that he was not telling the truth. And they would both be based on polygraph exams. So I became skeptical about the scientific basis for some of the exams. And I think that skepticism is reflected in some of the comments that I made. We did file some comments, in fact, when the Department of Energy put out its first rule on this. This was in 99, right? September of 99, and we have copies of that for any of you that want a copy of those comments, just pointing up the concerns that I had with the whole plan to use polygraphs as extensively as was planned. And let me just also allude to one other thing that General Gordon said. This is a significant morale problem in our national laboratories for a lot of people who devoted their careers to what they thought was a very patriotic endeavor in working at the national laboratories. And the requirement that they all, that we go back now and screen them all to determine whether their veracity is suspect, that is a is not a good morale booster in the labs. So it's an important issue. It's important to our, in my view, it's important to our ability to maintain the kind of people we need in our national laboratories to do the important work of defending the country. And so I obviously support the use of polygraphs where there is a scientific basis for demonstrating that they can do some good, and that they can help us to determine the truth. But I think that the broad screening that we have mandated out of the Congress in the last year or so, I think I have real concerns with, and I hope you folks can look into it and tell us how broadly this tool should be used, frankly, and whether or not we can rely upon the results that come out of these tests. Let me mention Bob Simon, who's here. Bob, raise your hand. Bob is the person who's head of our Democratic staff on the Senate Energy Committee, and he's worked on this issue with me for some time now. So he's a resource to you if there's anything we can provide.
Thank you so much. Pete Lyons from Senator Dominic's office.
Thank you. Let me start by noting that the comments I'll be presenting on behalf of Senator Domenici certainly would be strongly supportive of the views already expressed by his colleagues, Senator Bingaman and General Gordon. Senator Domenici is extremely interested in the study that you'll be conducting here for the National Academy, and you can rest assured that he will be very, very carefully evaluating your conclusions. Senator Domenici has expressed both questions and concerns on many occasions about the use of polygraphs to screen large numbers of DOE and laboratory employees. He certainly shares the very strong concern that General Gordon expressed on the need for very rigid security, very strong security at the national laboratories. And he certainly is very interested in maintaining necessary levels of security. But I think the question in his mind is if polygraphs used in a way as currently proposed as a screening tool truly enhance the overall at these laboratories? And then, in addition, what is the role of these polygraphs in the sort of broad security program that the general already outlined? The senator is also concerned that the use of polygraphs could potentially actually compromise the laboratory's ability to perform their critical national security missions if their overall effect is to undermine laboratory morale and actually cut the productivity of the scientific personnel at the laboratories, which just again ties in with his very strong interest in the conclusions that you'll be reaching in the study. I cataloged a number of the different comments and concerns in just some very broad categories that senators heard from constituents, and I thought those might be of some use to you. He certainly heard from probably hundreds of laboratory staff members, and some of them have emphasized that they have absolutely no objection to very intrusive tests. They have pointed out that drug testing is used routinely at the laboratories for certain of the specific positions where that is of importance. But they've never been a source of contention. The reason they haven't been a source of contention is that they are viewed by the technical staff as having scientific credibility. And that, in turn, falls into the level of concern that is being voiced now over the polygraphs. And that ties back into the question of do polygraphs, as you'll be deciding, actually have an adequate basis in science for this screening role. He's heard many concerns from employees that false positives will jeopardize their careers. And depending on whom he is hearing from, we have heard rates of false positives anywhere from below 1% to over 20%. Perhaps this group, as part of their evaluation, can determine what typical false positive rates are. And then the senator has tried to encourage the department to have some very careful programs in place that can evaluate positives and identify the false positives through the other aspects of their security program. Many of his constituents have noted that in several well-publicized recent espionage cases, there are either individuals who have successfully passed polygraph tests who later were demonstrated to have been undermining national security, or there are other cases where, and this ties in with the comments that Senator Bingham made, that different interpretations of the same test seem to have led to completely different conclusions as to the truthfulness of the individual taking the test. Perhaps it's not a part of your study, but certainly many of the constituents addressing the senator view the use of polygraphs really as almost an indictment of their commitment to national security and the nation's interests. And they view it almost as an affront. I mean, they do view it as an affront in many cases, and point out that they're the ones who generated the secrets in the first place, in many cases, that they are then being asked to be polygraphed for their willingness to protect them. I don't know if that's necessarily part of the study, but that certainly is implicit in the morale concerns at the laboratory. In a number of remarks, Senator Domenici has questioned whether polygraphs should be used perhaps at most for a small cadre of the weapons leaders. And in several recent hearings, he has expressed an interest in attempting to revise some of the outstanding legislation that is necessary in order to bring it into alignment with conclusions that, for example, your group may be coming up with. The bottom line is certainly that Senator Domenici has very, very strong concerns over excessive use of polygraphs and genuinely wants to know if the scientific basis for polygraphs substantiates their use as a broad and intrusive screening tool for the laboratory populations. You'll find that he will be very, very interested and very supportive of your research as it progresses.
Thank you. Your question.
Thank you.
He was chomping at it.
One word.
Just like General Gore here to help me to clarify our charge. And there was one line of our charge that caught my eye, and a number of your comments sort of seem to relate to it. And it's the line at the end of the second paragraph. The panel will not, however, independently review and assess these other techniques, and nor assess the use of the polygraph in conjunction with other techniques. And I'm looking for some guidance to the committee on that issue, because my understanding of its intent is that we would not attempt to justify or look at the scientific basis of other methods for distinguishing between truth-telling and prevarication. But on the other hand, the polygraph, the use of the polygraph is always contextual, as I understand it, and not absent other techniques of verifying information. And for us to appraise the effectiveness of the polygraph, it would seem to me that we would have to consider its impact in the context of other of these other devices or at least other methods for gauging security.
And I think when you come back with that as a specific proposal to do that, and I think we're ready to say yes. Sir.
Okay, well, that's a good lead into mine. because it struck me that as I was listening to the discussion that I, for one, and I suspect other people around the table on the committee, really do need to understand the process into which the polygraph is being set as a screening tool today. And that's a crucial element to talking about its scientific usefulness for that purpose. And I'm wondering if you have thoughts about how we could do that, given the somewhat awkward situation that this is a set of security issues and there are a variety of concerns.
How we go about this is not, it's just fully open.
Okay.
And what we would be delighted to do is bring to the committee, I will only speak for DOE, but was again for DOE and Administration, bring this into the context of the tools for bringing someone on board, the procedures that apply, and the adjudication procedures that come after. I think you all do need to understand that context. And in that regard, again, to the extent that you can invest the time, come out and sit down in the facilities and do it. And I think I can speak to DOD in that regard. We can, and the same thing with respect to the DOD facilities. Come and visit them, and literally, you know, sit down and talk about it, and talk to some of the people that are involved.
Okay, so
we'll bring it to you in session, and if you want to go reach out beyond that, that's
great. Okay. I was going to note that I thought that there were three mechanisms here, one of which, that there must be some documentation somewhere, and that would be useful if it exists, just as context setting for people. I think as we organize our activities, clearly a subset, if not the entire committee, will want to avail itself of that possibility to visit the facility. Now, we're talking about facilities where, and I want to make sure we all understand.
The facilities, the principal facilities that are used by my organization in Albuquerque.
So this would be linked to the labs.
The labs, and where would they get the dog from?
Fort Jackson, South Carolina is the location for the polygraph.
Okay, and we've talked about that already as a possibility, and I do appreciate that invitation. I suspect that within the week we'll be back to try to organize just how to do that. But I think that it's also important to have at the table at a meeting, probably our next one, some kind of a visit for people from both facilities.
What we'll do is prepare some background material if it's not available. If you don't have it now, we'll put that together and get it to you before then. And then we'll work with Barbara and offer some specific briefing approach.
Okay, that's terrific. Now, my other question is a similar one. I have read a lot of things at this point, as have many others around the table. One of the major set of questions that committees of this sort have is how to get access to all of the relevant scientific materials. And that means studies, it means data. And I've heard from people around the table that they would like to see the data that underlie the studies, if at all possible. I see nodding heads. And access to people who carried out the studies, because understanding what they did is not always possible on the basis of what is written or what is recorded. And is there a way to make sure that whatever your organization at least has access to, we can get access to?
I'm not sure that helps your problem a lot, but what we have, we will make available. Can I come back on that issue, though,
sure.
Just to sort of underscore what you just said, is that this issue has been so charged with emotion for so many years, it is really, you know, important to get into that underlying part in the true scientific methods and a priori standards on how you go off and what you bring into this. And you will find very strong feelings on both sides of the issues. Some individuals will feel that this committee is designed to save them from ever having to be subject to this again. Others see it as, we'll see it on just the opposite side of the spectrum, to drive home the process. What we just need to do is, sorry to sound like I'm lecturing people who know how to do this much better than I, but to really just operate on a scientific basis. And we just realize there's a huge amount of emotion on every dimension. On the broader question, I don't know quite how to. We'll obviously make available.
Yeah.
And I think maybe some of the other organizations.
Yeah. And I'll work with this gentleman.
Were there questions from any other of the committee members?
If I could just ask one other thing you might think about. You did talk. It's an accelerated schedule for annual council activities. Having said that, we're in the middle of some things. Did you all think about an interim report or two for us as it goes along? How do you want to do that with a fully? You may not be able to flush it out and do the kind of review that you really want to do, but if we could get some interim thoughts or chairman's reports, that falls within your bounds, that'd be very useful to know, and you have a good understanding of where this is going and if there's some things we need to be doing in the area.
I have one question. Part of the evaluation of the extant corpus of scientific literature in this area is the identification of lacuna in the research and specification of the kinds of studies that need to be done in order for certain kinds of conclusions to be drawn. It's also the case that there are many new methods on the horizon that potentially could be applied to this problem that have not yet been applied. To what extent should the charge of the committee include those domains?
I don't think I even understand the question, and I should see how my colleagues can help on this.
Well, maybe I can rephrase it and say it a little bit more simply. It may be the consensus of the committee that there are certain studies that need to be done that have not yet been done in order to answer some critical questions. To what extent is it part of the charge of the committee to specify what those studies are, identify specific research questions that need to be answered in order for more definitive conclusions to be drawn? That's part one of the question. And part two is, The committee may well identify certain methods that could potentially be used to address the problem of making inferences about guilt from a set of, for example, physiological measures that have not yet been applied in this domain. To what extent should the charge of the committee be forward-looking in terms of identifying potential opportunities?
I think you came again, come back in the original charge, a suggestion from the chair was that, yes, to go ahead and commission some research papers in a program. We accept that, and I think it's a good thing to do. I'm going to make up the answer to your second one that says, with the time allotted and the need to, my suspicion is you can't do a lot of that, but to identify where the research, what else ought to be done, and where we ought to go would be a very good one.
Yes,
address the question.
Senator Bigginer and also for General Gordon, you mentioned your experience as Attorney General of New Mexico. One of the consumers of this report inevitably will be the courts, and Polygraph is extremely controversial in state and federal courts. Dauber, less so in New Mexico, because there's a statute specifically on the issue. I'm curious about the scope of our charge. We obviously have to anticipate that not only will the DOE be interested in how we approach this, but there will be other consumers, and to what extent do you anticipate that we will get into that detail and look at, other than screening contests for this device, which the validity might be very similar in different contests as well.
Well, I don't know precisely how to respond, except to say that, as I see it, the most useful information we could get is your judgment, based on your review of all of everything that's available, on the usefulness of this as a screening device, and that's the part that is most objectionable. Is people who are in no way suspect. In terms of their activities or views or anything else, are being asked to go through a polygraph exam, even those who have been employed for some period of time. And so the question is this a useful thing to be doing? Does this give you any reliable information? I think it's a very different question in the law enforcement context, where you've got a particular individual that's accused of a particular crime, and you want to ask some questions to determine whether or not the person was at the scene of the crime, committed the crime, did.
So I guess that's my question. Why do you see that distinction? Well, what do you see as being different in those two contexts?
Well,
obviously there's a base rate difference, but you're assuming a base rate has been very low in the screening context. But you're assuming the base rate is probably higher in the criminal context.
Yeah, I have assumed that there is there's more validity to it in the criminal context, where you have particular actions that you can ask a person about, rather than trying to make some general determination about who is trustworthy and whose motivations are pure and whose are not. Screening idea seems to me to be in a very subjective arena, I'm not saying that I believe polygraphs necessarily work in the criminal field either. To the extent you folks can get into that, I'm more power to you. But I think from the point of view of Congress, we have legislation that suggests that maybe DOE should be polygraphing 20,000 to 30,000 people. We would like some wisdom as to whether or not that makes sense.
I concur. The charge is specific to get to the problem at hand, which is use as a screening tool. To the extent that data informs that or contributes to that, obviously should be considered included. But we're really asking, though, it has been used. It's, again, reiterating the senator, I'm not sure accepted is exactly the right word in specific areas, but the procedures allow, you know, polygrapher to go into great depth when you're pursuing a specific question in criminal intent. The screening tools are used for fairly simple questions, fairly straightforward questions in a very different kind of environment. So, you know, I had a chance to look at that and make some judgments on it, but the question adopted for the council is how, what's the objective scientific basis for its use in the screening tool?
Polygraphs have obviously been used as a screening tool a great deal for a number of years by departments, CIA, and other government agencies, but mostly for very high-level security clearance. So you're talking about a much more broad-based application. The social question that you're asking about, I guess, if somebody's going for a high-level security clearance, it's a different emotional issue. Is that does the Department of Energy routinely use polygraphs for screening prior to this for high-level security clearance?
I wasn't there, but I think the procedure was for specific programs, specific areas of endeavor, study, research, or defense issues. Mm-hmm. There were polygraphs being used for small numbers of people. One of the things that's different, I won't speak too much about my last job, but in the intelligence business, it has become, right or wrong, a bit of a rite of passage. It's accepted, and virtually everyone that comes into some of those agencies are subject to it. In the case we're talking about now, is we're going back and applying it to people who have already been there, have already been cleared, have all been working in the field, not necessarily going, not just going to the clearances, but say, okay, I've been doing this for 5, 10, 20 years in an environment where I thought I helped during the Cold War, and now you want to go. We have not presented to them, compelling as a quality of
right.
Yeah.
The social issue there, as far as the acceptance, and I understand that. Another question, I guess, that the panel will probably address is that I would assume that the quality of a polygraph evidence would depend a great deal on the training and expertise of the person administering the polygraph. And if you're talking about rapidly increasing the number of polygraphs that are occurring, you're going to have to train a bunch of new people to administer the polygraphs, and then the question is going to be what's the reliability of the polygraphs performed by these newly trained people.
When you go to Albuquerque, you'll be able to judge that yourself. The assessments that have been made in the polygraph community have been that the program that's run down there is very high standards. The folks are very carefully trained, very competently, continuously evaluated, and the execution of the program has been inspected a number of times on a fairly continued basis. And the reports back from the experts within the community have been that the DOE program meets the highest standards. And there are folks here who can comment on in much more detail. I think you recognize the issue. Folks within the community believe that they know how to do that, and the acceleration time frame is spread over a few years, so that you're not sort of picking up people off the street to do that. And there's several years it might take to implement this.
Any other questions? Panel members, I just wanted to make a couple of notes, and then I thought perhaps we would take a brief adjournment. First, there are a lot of wires around the room, and I thought I should explain that some of them are linked to a tape machine in this meeting, and I believe all of the open meetings are, this one is being taped, and we expect that others will be taped. This is to allow us to retrieve comments. Our plan is not to distribute them or share them beyond the committee unless there were a compelling reason to the contrary. And I don't believe that we're going to create a print version of them for any purpose in mind, but I did want people to know that that was happening. Also, as the committee will know, we have a lot of visitors in the room. This is an open meeting. The Academy is anxious and regularly pursues keeping the bulk of the meetings of its committees and panels open. However, I do note that on the schedule there is already one closed session, which will be this afternoon, and we have had some discussions about having at least two other small pieces closed so that the committee would be able to have a brief deliberative session this afternoon and also tomorrow afternoon. I wanted to alert people to that. So immediately following lunch, we will take about a half hour in closed session before we begin the afternoon session. It may be that we'll, depending on how the morning goes, have a little bit of shift in time. And I'm expecting that we will close the meeting tomorrow afternoon. And we'll try to make sure that we keep as much of the presentation and discussion in the morning open as possible. But have the afternoon session closed. As we think about gathering materials, we have already been contacted by a number of people, perhaps in the room, perhaps not, electronically, by telephone, in writing, in at least one instance or more. We are welcoming all materials. Our goal is to find the scientific materials, and we would love to have copies from people of things that you think we might otherwise not have access to. And we're going to attempt to do something as systematic as we possibly can with regard to that. And so for the people beyond the table, the point person for sending these is the study director, Paul Kern. And we will log them in, and you can be assured that somebody, and perhaps many people, will read with great care anything that you submit. We've already begun to ask ourselves how we could possibly get our arms around all of the related issues of the sort that have been raised, and we've talked about both workshops, visits to labs, commission papers, as well as the kinds of reviews. And we welcome suggestions. We will alert everybody as to how we're going to try to do this. It struck me there may not be a middle meeting, largely because we'll have so many tasks going on in the middle that it won't be a formal meeting of this sort, but rather groups doing all of these other things. And I just wanted everyone to know that that's in fact what we have been thinking about as our organizational task at this meeting, is to figure out how we go from here to providing some kind of answer to the questions that have been posed by DOE and the other interested parties. Chris?
Just for general information, because we are interested in
keeping as much of this information available to the public as we can. The audio portion of the open parts of the meeting will be on our website. I want you to know that.
So I propose that we take a 15-minute break and begin the second session somewhat ahead of schedule. I want to thank Senator Bingaman for coming again.
Thank you.
We will try to respond to the charge that you have.